Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Money and relationships are always intertwined, and at special times like Valentine's Day, it's good to think about money with your partner. Today, I have Karen Ely, financial coach, with me to discuss this important issue. Thanks for joining me today, Karen.
Hi, Julia. Great to be here.
Karen, Valentine's Day is a day of romance. Can it also be a good time to go on a money date?
I think so. A big part of intimacy in a couple is financial intimacy. And financial intimacy is really where you feel safe and secure and supported financially in your relationship. And I think the timing is great because February is still the start of the year, so you can intentionally plan out what you'd like to do together for the year.
And how important is it to discuss finances and budgets and plans with a partner?
Money can be a really sensitive and sometimes uncomfortable topic of conversation because there's lots of underlying emotions about money that we don't always express. So when we don't talk about it, those feelings can bubble up to the surface. So this makes talking about money and making financial plans together around spending, saving, and investing really important. And if you don't talk honestly and in a supportive way about money, it can actually infect other areas of your relationships. And the statistics show that finances are the second highest cause for relationship breakdowns, followed by infidelity. And marriage research also indicates that many couples wait more than 7 years before seeking help in their relationship issues. And you can imagine over time, you know, a lot of frustration or resentment can build up, especially around finances. So, yes, talking about money and finances is really important. And what I found working with hundreds of couples, what I find is that when you've got a couple, there's one who's usually a spender and the other's a saver, or there's one that likes to take risk and the other one's more cautious. And from my experience, we generally attract our financial opposite. It's often about finding some middle ground as a couple. So to be able to have these conversations and talk openly and honestly about what each person's spending or what you want to achieve financially, it is really important.
One of the things that I've always found is that, you know, you can't talk about money as something separate. It's so entwined with your life goals, et cetera. And I've heard from a lot of financial advisors that, you know, when they do get couples in and you're going through all those financial goals, it's often something that they need a box of tissues for. You know, it brings out such heavy emotions.
It does, yes. So when I do couples money coaching, it's really a hybrid of a relationship therapist and a financial coach because quite often relationships and marriages are on the line. So investing in getting professional help can save a lot of financial stress because, as you said, money is integral in so many areas of our life. It can affect our confidence and self-esteem if we're not earning enough. It can cause us a lot of stress if we're in debt. And it's really, when we have conversations about money, it's really a conversations about values, and values are what's most important to us, and we can be really protective or sensitive around that. So I quite often find as a money coach is that, yes, I do have a box of tissues in my office and they are very well used.
So Karen, why do people come to couples coaching with you?
It's generally the woman, I will say, in most circumstances, that initiates the coaching sessions. And it's usually because they don't feel understood, or they're frustrated with their financial situation, or are on a completely different page to each other when it comes to how they either spend, save, or invest their money. Or it could be that there's one person in the relationship who's totally disengaged and just doesn't want to deal with the money side, and it's all left to one person, which for that person, it can either be stressful because they worry about, well, if I'm not around, what are they going to do? Or on the other hand, it can actually build up a bit of resentment or frustration, which basically leads to giving up. And as I said before, money issues, they're quite often symptoms of other relationship issues or problems.
Karen, what exactly is a money coach, and how do people find out about you, you know, about what you do as a money coach, and also about you personally?
A money coach is pretty much a transition between a financial advisor and a psychologist. So it's really around understanding your relationship with money. And in a couple, it's really important to firstly understand your own relationship. And what I mean by that is how you think about money, how you feel about money, and your financial behaviors. And all of those together create your financial relationship. So actually understanding your own one is really important. But when you're a part of a couple, those dynamics can either work well together or perhaps not work well together. So a money coach is able to help unpack those, because all of our relationship with money was really formed between the ages of 7 and 12. And it really relates to what money was like for us growing up, because that has had a significant influence, whether we like it or not, on how we are with money today.
And so how do people know that financial coaches are around, and, you know, how do they find you?
Yeah, so for me, it's a lot of word of mouth. Over in America, where I trained to do the money coaching, money coaches are a lot more well-known, whereas here in Australia, it's more of an emerging industry. So, yeah, not a lot of people do. But when people come and see me, they're like, oh, I've needed someone for you for years. It's just like this hybrid. And it's quite funny when I coach couples and the woman comes in and she has a bit of an understanding, and the husband or the spouse comes in and they're like, I feel like I'm seeing a therapist at the moment. It's like, well, I'm nodding my head saying, yes, you are. Because, you know, our relationship with money is really deeply emotional based.
And Karen, you were originally trained as a financial advisor and practiced as one. Is there a big difference between the offerings and what people expect from you?
Yes, absolutely. I like to use the analogy of just like there's two sides to a dollar coin. There's two sides to managing our money. So one side is what a traditional financial advisor would do. So it's all the external parts of money management. So cash flow, budgeting, superannuation, investments, insurance. That's one side of the dollar coin. On the other side of the dollar coin, which is where I sit as a money coach, it's all around our patterns and behaviors. So whether we're overspenders or we overwork, or we might be in small business and undercharge, or we may not be at a salary that is equivalent with for our value. We may underestimate ourselves or undervalue ourselves. So it's all being in touch with the emotional part of money, because at the end of the day, money is just a medium of exchange. We go to work and we give up our time and our experience and our skills for money, and then we go and use that money and exchange it for things that we want. So there's no meaning to money other than a medium of exchange, but as individuals, as human beings, we create our own meanings around money. So as a money coach, I help clients unpack what that is for them, because those meanings are actually driving their behaviours.
So what are some actual strategies that you've seen have worked with people that are coming to you for couples coaching and have issues that they need to have resolved?
Talking about money with your partner can be a really heavy topic, especially when there's a lot of emotion involved. So a good start is to approach the topic at a time that's really good for your partner. So, for example, you could say to them, I'd really like to have a conversation about money and our finances. When would be a good time for us to do this together? Because, say, for instance, if your partner's a morning person, and at the end of the day, when they're feeling really tired and wanting to go to bed, it's not going to be a great time to bring up the fact that there is enough money in the bank account to pay for a new car or going on a holiday. I don't think that conversation is going to go that well. So pick a time and schedule a time in where you both can prepare for it and really think about what it is that you want to talk about when it comes to money. And that's why I think Valentine's Day is a great time to book in a money date, or if it's not Valentine's Day, actually schedule something in on a regular basis. And then the next thing is about understanding why your partner is the way they are with money. So you might have a partner that squirrels their money away and they actually don't like spending it. Or they could be a workaholic and obsessed with earning more and more money and never feel like they have enough. Or they could be someone that overspends and spends more than they earn. So what you want to do as a partner is be really curious to find out, where has this come from? Because, as I said, we all inherited our basic money patterns and behaviours from our family. So just ask your partner, you know, what was money like for you growing up? because you really want to understand each other's financial fears. And we all have them. I have them. I'm sure you have them. But fear is a really powerful driver when it comes to money. So as a partner, you want to be really compassionate and curious to learn more about your partner from a financial sense. Another thing couples can do is take a money personality quiz or a money type quiz, and they're a really fun way to learn about each other's traits and more about the other person. I also recommend that couples set up joint and individual goals, like have ones that you work on together so you feel part of a team and really connected and bring each other closer together, but also have your own goals and really support each other for that. Understanding your values are really important too, because our values are really important drivers, and they're really about getting to the core of what are the most important things in your life, and to understand what role does money play in helping you and your partner achieve your goals. And the other thing that I find causes a lot of issues is around discussing roles and responsibilities in the household for who's responsible for managing the money, because quite often it's just defaults to one person. There's almost like this implied agreement. So, oh, well, you're better at money than me, so how about you manage it all? And the other person just absolves all responsibility. And it shouldn't be that way. You really should be working as a team, or at least be aware and understanding how the other person is managing the money. So really discuss roles and responsibilities and segregate them up if possible.
Karen, what are some breakthroughs that you've seen when you've been coaching a couple that they've had some sort of issue and you've resolved it or helped them resolve it?
The best part about the breakthroughs for me is obviously tears and tissues, but when one person really deeply understands what the other person has been doing. So if they have been an overspender, there's a reason why they do that. And we can be really critical and judgmental. It's like, well, why do you have to spend so much money on shoes or handbags or clothes? And when we actually unpack them, we as a money coach and doing couples therapy, we actually delve deep into an individual's childhood. And sometimes, actually pretty much all the time, there is some underlying trauma that person went through younger. And the trauma could be a significant trauma, or it could be something that you and I might find quite menial, but it was really important defining factor in that person's childhood that made them decide certain things about themselves, their worthiness, their how much they think that they deserve in terms of money, in terms of having it or not having it. And so it's a really beautiful breakthrough when you can sit there and one, the individual person is actually discovering that about themselves, but then having their partner in the room that they can also understand, oh, that's why they do that. And just having that empathy and compassion, it really brings a couple closer together, because it's never about the money. There's always some underlying reason why we do what we do with money.
Can you give an example of one of those incidents?
I worked with a couple, and the woman, she just was just had wanted to have nothing to do with money. She's like, no, you take care of it. I don't want to look after it. I don't want to manage it. I don't care. I just don't want anything to do with money. And so when we went through her childhood, we uncovered one day where her and her brother and her mum and dad went to a department store, and they didn't do it very often. It was a really special treat. And before they went off to the shops, dad gave her a $50 note and said, here, you look after the money for everybody, and this is your responsibility, and we're going to give the money to you. And so they all went shopping. And she bought a dress, and he bought a toy truck or something. Her brother bought a truck, and her mum bought a lipstick or something like that. And they go up to the counter to pay, and she goes in, puts her hand into her pocket, and the money's gone. And so you can imagine how a 9-year-old felt putting her hand into the pocket, there's no money there. So that was bad enough. But then her father, not intentionally, but really shamed her, saying, I can't believe you lost that money. You just can't be trusted when it comes to money. And she was really deeply shamed from that experience. So as a result, she just wanted nothing to do with money.
And I can imagine it had so many impacts on her life. Wow.
It does. And because when we're so little, our brains are just like these little growing energetic sponges, and they're very sensitive. So something that you and I might think, well, that wasn't a big deal, for a 9-year-old child, it is a huge deal. And unfortunately, it can deeply impact us. And it goes into our subconscious, Julia. And so we're not even aware of that. She hadn't thought of that memory. You know, this client that in particular that I was working with, she was in her early 40s. And it wasn't till we actually deeply dived into her childhood that we uncovered this. And she's like, wow, I had no idea that that is my block and my aversion to wanting to be responsible or dealing with money.
And so once she discovered that block, was it easy to get past it?
Awareness is the first thing. The second thing, though, Julie, is because this has been going on subconsciously in her brain and it's neurologically hardwired in there that she's not to be trusted with money, she's not good with money, she'll just lose it if she gets it. There's a lot of work that needs to go into rewiring those neural pathways. So whilst understanding it is really important, then there's some strategies that need to go into place to rewire that, to say, look, I can be trusted with money. I'm a grown up now. I can take care of my money. It's safe for me to have it because I can protect it. So she needs to then relearn a new way of thinking about how she can manage money effectively.
What are some of the other problems that people find themselves in as part of a couple?
Some of the main financial themes I see couples struggle with is that you have one person that might be a saver and the other person's a spender. And the saver is really wanting to put away for the future and for financial goals, but they're constantly being undermined because the other person is spending so much money. Or they might have disagreements about what money should be spent on, and this comes down to values. So one person might be really into material things and having a nice house and a nice car and clothes, while the other person prefers to spend money on experiences and holidays and being present and having more time freedom. Another theme is who's in charge of the money. Another deep one that I see is around the disparities or differences about how much each partner earns. So you might have one partner that earns a lot of money and the other one doesn't earn as much. And so then it comes down to, well, of that money, who has a higher say in the financial decision making? Is it the person that earns more money or is it both of them together? Because that can cause a lot of issues as well.
Karen, can one half of a couple come to coaching and benefit from your help?
Yeah, so ideally it's better to work with both couples, but I do regularly just work one-on-one with one partner. And about halfway through, when the other person sees some really significant changes or transformations as the way that they're managing their money or approaching it, the other person kind of normally jumps in. But I can really get to a client to get to the core of the issues. And when it comes down to helping communicate them with the partners, we can do a bit of role playing, because often challenges in a couple when it comes to money is really comes down to effectively communicating. So just like money management, most of us aren't taught how to effectively communicate with our partner about our emotions. So getting some support and guidance, I can do that one-on-one with one part of the couple, and then just help them have those conversations that perhaps on their own are quite challenging or difficult to have. So we can do a bit of role playing around that. So, yeah, absolutely. I can definitely see one person in a couple. And, yeah, I definitely find that the other person who hasn't come to the coaching is like, well, what's this? What have you done to my wife? So I want to learn a bit more about it myself.
And I guess it's when a couple has got issues in managing money in their relationship and it's causing problems, I guess you act as a bit of a mediator as well. And instead of the couple necessarily having that conversation on their own, they've got someone in between who can make it, you know, less volatile a conversation.
That's exactly right, Julia. And one thing that I do observe is, as I said before, it's normally the woman that initiates coming and seeing me for some couples coaching. And so they automatically kind of think that, oh, well, Karen will be on my side. But quite often I'm not. It's about, well, let's just give your husband some space and let's hear from him rather than one person over talking or finishing the sentences for the other person. So it is very much a facilitation so that they can have effective communication rather than it devolving into an argument.
And I've done a bit of research on this, but I have found that, you know, when I talk to people about their money behaviours as a couple, those who regularly talk about money and, you know what the goals and values are in the relationship, they've got much stronger relationships.
Absolutely. Financial relationships and relationships overall, it really creates a strong bond between the couple. And so I highly recommend having regular money dates, I like to call them, because, you know, we want to put a bit more fun into it as well. So, you know, cook a nice dinner or have a bottle of wine or do something, go for a picnic or, but scheduling that time, because it is really important. The more that you can openly talk about money, the better and stronger that relationship is going to be.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Karen. That's been great.
Oh, my pleasure, Julia. Thank you.
You've been listening to financial coach Karen Ealy. Please remember you can listen to Friends with Money wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and please subscribe so that you don't miss our next episodes.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.